Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the podcast where we observe if there is a Doom Patrol comic currently being published, and then we fill the emptiness in our souls with small talk.
You're trivializing our pain, Paul. But okay, this small talk will possibly be centered around comics and related stuff. So I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. You can also find Wilfred, the Sentient Show Twitter account, who is at WFDPod.
I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_Hicks, and you can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com, and we're on Facebook, and all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
And this week, we're firing up the Wayback Machine and stopping off in the 1977 and 82 to look at the new Doom Patrol, the revival of the name that occurred between Volumes 1 and 2. After that, we'll climb the 10-story ladder of Doom and balance on the diving board of Doom, and then perform a triple twist into the mailbag of Doom for your responses to our question of the week, which was, what have you collected apart from comics? But first, Paul, how was your week in comics and such?
It's been an odd one. I've been going through old boxes of comics.
Ooh, who doesn't love doing that? Seriously, that's so much fun.
Well, I used to have a list of all the comics that had letters that I had printed in them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's something like 80-something comics I used to write.
Wow.
A lot. Yeah.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've lost that list.
Oh, no. How so could you?
I'm literally going through piles and piles of comics and pulling them out and going, I think I had one in this one, and flipping through and debagging them and rebagging them without as much neatness as before. And I found about 30 so far.
Holy jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I've been starting with the Ultraverse comics. So.
Okay.
Because I've been listening to podcasts on the Ultraverse from the Ultraverse Network, which have brought all that back to me.
Oh, cool.
There we were. You never read an Ultraverse comic in your life, have you?
I recall them vaguely, but I don't think I did ever read any of their stuff. Didn't they have like something like a team of dinosaurs or something?
Oh, that was before. Right. Dino Agents or something.
Okay. Maybe that was Malibu Comics, I'm thinking.
That was Malibu. That was one of the things they did before the Ultraverse. So the Ultraverse was their big attack on having a coherent comic book universe.
Right.
But now they had some good books. Firearm is the one to watch. Firearm, James Robinson, Firearm was awesome. And that is, it's an absolute crying shame that Marvel own that and do nothing with it. Don't even reprint it. Marvel.
What have they ever done for us, Paul? Honestly.
Anyway, and apart from that, I've been watching Breaking Bad with every waking hour.
And what have you been thinking of Breaking Bad?
It's very good. My kids don't like it. But
imagine that.
No, not showing it to the kids.
Right.
But, that's it's an ethically challenging show. It's
just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cautionary tale.
You're so diplomatic in your answers.
Yeah. No, I'm very impressed with how well it's written and how it puts the characters in all these situations of peril, and then they get out of them in very unexpected ways.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sure it'll all work out happily for everyone at the end.
Yes. They'll all get off the island.
What about you, Mike? What's on your comic calendar?
Well, last week, it was a mixed bag. We had the final issue of Swamp Thing, issue number 40. So that's wrapped up. It was an interesting final issue.
Is that code for disappointing?
It was an interesting kind of issue.
You don't go to the hairdresser and say, I'd like an interesting haircut.
It had a middle bit that was kind of confusing, and I think had it not been the final issue, would have led to something a lot more interesting, but unfortunately it kind of wrapped up in a rushed manner. So that was a bit of a disappointment. Rat Queens returned, Mighty Rat Queens returned triumphantly with picking up the story arc of giant flying demons trying to take over the world. So that was good fun.
It's got the new artist on board, isn't it?
Yes, whose name is Stefan, I think it's pronounced Stefan Sajic. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I liked his stuff. I thought it was cool. So that was cool. The two surprise reads for me of the week were Descender from Image Comics, with story by Jeff Lemire and art by Dustin Nguyen, about a young robot boy reawakening and unwittingly being embroiled in this gigantic catastrophe. It was awesome. It was really cool. Beautiful watercolored pages and stuff. It was great.
Jeff Lemire, eh?
Yes. So keep an eye out for that one. And from Boom Studios, a series called Cluster, written by Ed Brisson and Damien Cusiero. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Damien. Which is basically a sci-fi tale where instead of serving prison time, criminals get the chance to go and serve in the armed forces instead. And yeah, it was very interesting.
Shades of Suicide Squad.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. So it was it was a mixed bag for comics.
You should get them to give you sorted bags from now on, not mixed ones.
You and your wordplay, honestly. Oh. But yeah, it was an alright week for comics. It was it seems to be the beginning of the end for a lot of the DC books I'm getting, what with Convergence on the horizon.
Yeah, this is the last month before Convergence, so
yeah,
wrapping things up.
Yeah, and this week I think it's also the last issue of Green Lantern Corps, which I'm still annoyed about. So I think I've got things ending all over the place for the next few weeks, and I'm not upset about that at all.
Was last week last Green Lantern?
No, Green Lantern's continuing.
No, I know, but was it before Convergence?
Yes, number 40. So
okay, good.
All the books that have been going since day one of New 52 are all hitting the 40-issue mark and are either surviving the chop or, you know, vanishing.
Or having midlife crises.
Yeah, Swamp Thing rode off in his new red convertible.
That could be DC's next crisis, midlife crisis.
Infinite midlife crisis. dearie me. Well, so yes. Hey, what's that ticking, Paul?
Could be a bomb.
Don't talk about the show like that.
It's probably the doom clock.
I wish you would retain your excitement. Yes, it's probably the doom clock.
We should make the Doom Clock digital.
I think Apple are actually bringing out a Doom Watch.
So, Doom Watch?
Yeah. You know, cash in. Except it probably won't cost you $14,000.
What? Is it a magical watch that gives you lap dances or something?
Wow, where are you spending $14,000? Don't answer
that. That's what
that.
You ought to get at that price. Anyway.
Anyway, looking at the Doom Clock, it's telling me that the last Doom Patrol book we had was issue 22 of Volume 5 back in July 2011, which was approximately 3 years and 8 months ago. How does that make you feel, Paul?
That is way too long.
Way too long.
That's way too long. That's like celebrities can get married and divorced like 5 times in that time.
The last appearance of the Doom Patrol was back in Justice League number 33 from October of 2014. So almost 5 months ago. How does that make you feel?
I feel sad.
Good.
I feel disappointed.
In other news on the Doom Clock, it's telling me that this week back in 2010, issue number 8 from Volume 5 called Eviction Notice went on sale for the princely sum of $2.99. Remember back when DC were holding the line at $2.99?
They held that line for quite some time.
And I can't think of a fourth line to rhyme with. Yes, but in this issue, we had an interdimensional wrecking crew arrive on Oolong Island, where the patrol were situated, and they were looking for something or someone specific, as well as serving an eviction notice to all life on our plane of existence. They were actually looking for Danny the Brick, who somehow Crazy Jane had reappeared and had somehow fallen into possession of Danny the Brick, who used to be Danny the Street.
Danny the Street.
Yes, who, for those who have never encountered Danny the Street, was a sentient, literally a sentient street.
Yes.
Who was also
transvestite.
A transvestite sentient street who could teleport the team to, you know, they would walk on Danny the Street and, you know, they might start in a fictional place like Paris and then they would end up back home in America. That's how he worked. He was like the team's transporter.
Danny the Street would squeeze between little buildings and make a new space for himself.
Yes, yes, that's right. And
it all makes sense.
It does, yeah. And then somehow he ended up being whittled down to just a brick. Poor old Danny.
I love Volume 5. I really want to talk about Volume 5 one day.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We got plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
The fans are eating this stuff up.
It's piles of doom for us to get through.
Exactly, exactly. But yes, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
For Doom's Playing this week, we're going back to 1977, when hair was long, Corvettes were cool, Star Wars ruled, and the internet was non-existent. How did we bitch about things back then? I've got no idea. Anyway.
Wrote letters into comics?
When Ghostbusters were announced, we just had to talk to people around us. Anyway, we'll start with a little DC comic title called Showcase, which featured different comic characters in the hope that they might become popular enough to launch into their own titles.
It was kind of a showcase, if you will.
Yes. I wonder if they thought of that when they named it. Anyway.
Probably.
So we're going to start with Showcase Volume 1, number 94, which is called The Doom Patrol Lives Forever. So, when we get to this comic, anyone who's been following The Doom Patrol before hasn't seen them since 1966?
That's about right, yes. Yeah. So it's a good 11 years by the time this issue rolls around.
And the team is last seen sacrificing their lives, and they're all dead.
Yes. Well,
yes.
Most of them.
Well, as far as we know, they're all dead until we crack the pages of this little puppy. And it's got a lovely comic cover by Jim Aparo. Legendary Batman artist Jim Aparo. And inside the first page we see a Doom Patrol running at the reader, and one of them's flying, to be correct. But it's the return of Robot Man, Cliff Steele.
Yep.
And three newbies.
Three new team members.
Yeah, so this is the story of how this new team formed. And it starts with a recap. Now, it's written by Paul Kupperberg. Get that right. He's a follower of our Twitter account, so.
Hope you're listening, Paul.
Yeah, we love your stuff. But it recaps the end of the Doom Patrol, where they all get tricked by Madame Rouge and General Immortus into sacrificing themselves to save an island of 14 innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just what the patrol did, you know.
That's how they rolled.
Yep.
Yep. And it cuts forward into the future a little bit, and the remains of Cliff Steele are sort of bobbing in the ocean, and a man in a plaid jacket has found him.
It was a very stylish time.
This is Will Magnus, and like his plaid jackets are like his uniform and his pipe.
And his
pipe. Yeah.
I love how in this issue and in this story, it's never identified who actually saves Cliff, who puts him back together. Is it?
No. Oh, I don't think it is actually said. But yeah, if you've read the Morrison Doom Patrol, it's very clear that Will Magnus is often involved with Robot Man's bodies, and I think it's earlier in Volume 2 as well.
Yes. But it's just, suddenly Robot Man is once again whole, and he's headed back to the Patrol's old headquarters.
Now, he gets a new body for this, so Will pumps out a new one for him, and I reckon it's a bit Star Wars inspired somehow. It's much more sci-fi looking than
it is
what's
a bit.
Come before. And this was the year of Star Wars. So this was late in 77 mm-hmm. when everything was coming up Star Wars.
Yes. It's a bit... It does look more alien than the old Cliff Steel robot man body.
Yeah, well, the old body looked like it could be a human body inside inside a suit, whereas this is, you know, the articulation on the arms is much more tentacle-like and mm-hmm. it's, you know, skinnier in weird parts. And
he's got, kind of more noticeable boots as well on his legs. So
yeah, so it's an update that to our eyes looks pretty retro now. But I reckon it would have been pretty cool back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's at this point where he's kind of feeling sorry for himself and, you know, reminiscing about the old team that he starts to explore the old headquarters. And sure enough, he comes across three people sitting in the headquarters.
Yeah, it's the Doom Patrol in without him. And it's a new formed Doom Patrol.
Mm.
And what's the first thing they can do? They fight.
How else do heroes meet, honestly? You can't punch, you know, strangers that you haven't met before. What else can you do when you're a hero?
Yes, so there's a black guy called Joshua Clay who fires blasts at Cliff.
And interesting to note that this is the same Joshua Clay that we were talking about just recently in the Grant Morrison run.
Yeah, so what's another 22 years later, he's still... rocking around.
Pretty much. Who else does Cliff get to meet?
He meets the leader of the new Doom Patrol, who is a lady called Celsius,
mm-hmm.
An Indian woman called Arani.
Yes.
Yep. And she has fire and ice powers.
Yes.
So she can, she's pretty handy in the kitchen.
Oh, God. Wow. Okay. Who else is there?
And we have a Russian lady who has the negative energy inside her. So she's negative woman.
And I think it's her using the negative energy which first triggers Cliff's memories that, hang on, this is, you know, kind of like Larry. What the hell's going on? So
yeah, now we get action and flashbacks
yes.
all at once. And exposition, and it all comes together and they stop fighting and they take the time to talk about it all.
Now, I think it's really interesting that we only really know that Valentina is Russian from her constant use of the word comrade.
Comrades.
And da as well.
Yeah, da.
She's agreeing with something.
Yeah.
And I think it's also really interesting that Arani is a woman of Indian descent from, as we find out more in the next issue, and... This is a comic from 1977 that's showing a lot of diversity already in this one issue. And it's interesting how still in this day and age, people want diversity in their comics. And I'm like, wow, they were doing this back in the late 70s.
Yeah, it is really cool.
And, and they had an Indian woman leading the team back in 77. How awesome is that?
You know? Yeah, yeah. And one thing to note about Valentina Vostok is that she doesn't wear bandages.
True. And also, the negative energy doesn't escape her body.
Yeah.
It just switches on and then she flies around and short circuits things.
Yeah, she doesn't do the collapsing to the ground that Larry did.
How does that make you feel with a non-collapsing negative person?
It's an adjustment. I'm not going to lie.
I know you're a big fan of Larry collapsing every issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, the team are soon doing their introductions, and it's a lot for Cliff to wrap his poor human brain around.
You were about to say robot brain, weren't you?
Well, I was trying to say robot encased brain, but you know what I mean. So, and it's not too long before Arani mentions the name of one of the most hated villains, General Immortus.
Would you say he's their worst villain?
He's up there. I'd rate him.
You'd rate him?
I'd rate him. So, yes, and of course, you know, just in time to hurry things along, who should appear but the very person that they've just been discussing?
Speak of the devil and he shall appear.
Yes. And I have to say, the henchmen that General Immortus has brought along with him have some of the worst henchmen costumes I have ever seen.
They're like got biker shorts. It's like short wetsuits with jetpacks and goggle masks.
Did you ever read Alpha Flight way back when, Paul?
No.
Okay.
How far back are we going?
We're talking early 80s.
No, definitely not.
Okay. There was a member of the Alpha Flight team called Puck.
Oh, yes. I remember Puck.
That's P for Peter, U-C-K. And he was a dwarf who was quite acrobatic. And he wore a costume that was basically like had a black headpiece and basically covered his torso, but exposed his legs and his arms. It made me think that these henchmen had gone and styled their costume off his costume, except they were grown men. I kept seeing, Puck, but, as a fully sized person every time I saw them. Anyway, I digress.
That would be quite a recruitment drive, General Mortis, saying, here, thanks, here's your guns. Oh, there's your uniform. And they go, what? That?
Yeah, it's an interesting look, and God bless the 70s for its fashions.
I'd be looking for a push bike to go with that outfit. But
Anyway, it's interesting to note that, yes, of course, a huge battle breaks out.
They've got shaved legs too, these dudes. I've just noticed.
How close are you looking at the page, God?
There is no hair on those legs.
So as they are fighting these well-shaved henchmen, actually, I was quite surprised by how quickly Immortus pretty much subdued the Doom Patrol. He had already figured out what powers they would have and how to negate them, I guess.
Classic Immortus.
Yeah, based on his previous running with the team. But
that's his shtick.
His shtick. He's around long enough to know everything.
Yeah, so. How to render them helpless and powerless, yes, and capture them. And he gasses them.
Of course.
Yes.
That old chestnut. That then takes us to issue number 95 of Showcase Presents, which is the origin of Celsius.
What's that got in it?
Well, essentially it's one long flashback issue.
Yay.
All of the team are in chains and enslaved by General Immortus, except for Celsius. Well, she's chained up, but Immortus has placed upon her skull a mind probe device. And it's here that we go back in time in her mind and see how and when she met the chief, Niles Calder.
Uh-huh.
Because Immortus reveals that he's running out of his immortality serum. And
again,
yes. And he thinks that while the chief isn't around, he might be able to get some secrets for the immortality serum out of Arani's mind.
What's Arani's connection to the chief?
Well, as it turns out, she was a street child that was very poorly growing up on the streets of Calcutta. And the chief was also in Calcutta, having recently graduated from medical school, and he was volunteering with the Red Cross. So one day, a young Arani collapses into the Red Cross shelter, and Niles basically brings her back to good health and takes a shine to her, and, they become friends. And he promises to return one day and marry her.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's how he's going to get Arani off the streets and lead her to a healthier and safer life with him back in America. But before he does that, he takes her to some weird-ass monastery deep in the hills, hidden away from the rest of the world, and he takes off.
Okay.
And he says, I will return, dear Arani, I swear.
Right.
Yes, because that's what you do to someone that you've just promised to marry.
Yes.
Remember how we keep saying that the chief is a bit of a bastard?
He's an odd one.
He is an odd one. So yeah, basically Arani spends the next few years growing up in this monastery. And she becomes very zen-like.
Choosing wedding dresses and planning a reception and...
No, instead, the mystic monks in said monastery, they're the ones that teach her how to focus her latent metahuman powers and unleash her power to control ice and fire. Hence the beginning of Celsius, the superhero. And when I was researching this, there was also mention of the fact that this is where she also learnt her amazing, you know, kung fu skills, but it's not actually ever shown. It's just a lot of her sitting around and reading and, you know, all of a sudden she can shoot fire from one hand and ice from the other.
Yeah.
As you do. Anyway, we finally see a panel with Niles returning and Arani has grown up a bit more and grown into a young woman, and that's when they embrace and they head back to America to marry.
So. You're legal now, let's go.
Pretty much.
Right.
That, there's also a reference to Niles' mysterious benefactor.
Oh, question. Is Niles in the wheelchair at this point?
No, he is not.
Oh, okay.
And this is where it ties back to his origin and his history with Immortus, because Niles is telling Arani, you know, my mysterious benefactor has supplied me with unlimited funds to develop an immortality serum.
Gotcha.
Which we were just reading about a few episodes ago.
Right. So, Yes.
So anyway, they come back. I stand corrected, they get married in the monastery, of course. And then Niles has developed the serum.
That'd be a cheap wedding, I reckon.
There was no one else there.
It would be a really cheap reception.
Really cheap.
Decorations, all that. I mean, weddings were cheap back then anyway. That was before the wedding industries really took off.
Yeah.
So, you know, but getting married in a monastery, that's a good way to go, I reckon. I'm going to talk to my kids about that when they're a bit older, so...
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Great plan. So Niles' wedding gift to Arani was this immortality serum.
Wow.
So, which she drank afterwards, and that's what General Immortus is trying to pry from her mind with his mind probe device, the secrets of the serum. So do you think he gets it out of her mind?
I don't know. Yes. No. Maybe.
He does.
That old bastard.
Yes, he does. And it actually starts working on him.
Ah.
And he starts reverting.
Getting younger?
Yes, he has a full head of hair. He looks younger. Whoa. To the point where his badly dressed, well-shaved henchmen turn up again and they don't recognize him.
Ah.
And he's telling them, attack the Doom Patrol, who have since escaped from their, you know, chains by this point.
That's what they do.
They're about to launch into another big fight scene. And as they're escaping, Cliff punches through a wall, only to reveal that they're actually on the dark side of the moon. On a lunar base, of course.
On the Pink Floyd album.
Pretty much.
They're on side two.
Yeah, so... luckily, before they all get sucked into the vacuum of space, Arani uses her ice powers to freeze up the hole in the wall. There's another big fight breaking out as Immortus is trying to escape, and it's all going to hell in a handbasket very quickly. But luckily, they find an escape rocket ship. Who else can pilot it but Valentina Vostok? Because it turns out that Valentina is actually a Russian cosmonaut as well.
Wow.
She's just a mystery woman, this lady.
Yeah.
So, as they're escaping, Immortus soon discovers that the serum hasn't worked properly. It was designed specifically for Arani. So, the serum secrets he pulled from Arani's mind will only work on her. So
we never find out General Immortus' first name, do we?
I do not believe so, no.
I wonder if it's Kevin.
Kevin Immortus. Yeah, probably. That then leads us to Showcase Presents number 96, which is titled Defection.
Wow.
So, this is probably my least favorite of this story arc, to be honest, because it seems a little bit like a tacked-on idea, almost. After the excitement and the introduction of the new team, this is kind of focused more on the fact that Valentina... escaped from the USSR in a secret experimental jet, and now the Russians are out to get her back.
So she's a defecting agent, or?
Yes. Pilot.
Space pilot.
Yeah, something like that.
Cosmonaut. Let's go with that.
In the preceding two issues, there have been small interludes that show a US government agent called Matt Cable, who's also been sent on the case to look for her.
Matt Cable from Swamp Thing.
Yes, Matt Cable, also known as Matthew the Raven from Sandman.
Oh, spoilers.
Come on.
Just leaping ahead there a little bit.
Sorry. But yes, it's that Matt Cable. So.
Awesome. So this is really connected to the DC Universe.
Yes.
It's got Will Magnus, so there's the Metal Men connection.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a Swamp Thing connection.
Yes. So it's all happening. And
I love the DC Universe.
Oh, so do I.
So good.
Isn't it awesome? Isn't it just?
It's so connective.
So Matt Cable has turned up to the Doom Patrol headquarters, and he's been waiting there, and, you know, they land from their escape from the dark side of the moon just in time to be almost arrested by Matt Cable. But the team basically say, no, we've just been through a hell of a lot. We're going to handcuff you and throw you in a cupboard.
That's pretty Matt Cable, but that's standard for Matt.
Then, of course, the Russians show up, and they have their own kind of super-powered person who goes by the name of the Cossack. What do you think the Cossack looked like, Paul?
He's wearing a fuzzy hat, he's got a beard and a moustache.
Yep.
And he's wearing some sort of coat.
Yes, well done.
With a big belt and boots.
Yes.
Am I right?
Spot on. And he's got a giant...
I don't know, just conjures a vision.
Yes, and he's got a giant black horse that he rides on, and he's wielding a giant electrified sword as well.
Did he get the horse in America, or did he bring the horse with him?
I think he brought the horse with him. So,
okay.
And basically, the Russians have brought the Cossack over to eliminate Valentina. If they can't get her back, they will wipe her out. So essentially, this issue is a bit disappointing because it's an extended fight scene between the team and the Cossack. So, there's not much more to say to it other than the team are triumphant.
Oh.
You know? They take care of it. The Cossack turns out to be not entirely human after all, as they're shooting power blasts at him. It also gets a bit weird when Joshua seems very concerned about Valentina's welfare. And it kind of becomes apparent that he's very, very attached to her.
Oh.
Over the course of 3 issues. So...
Well, she's the single girl on the team.
Well, yes. And she also has quite a revealing top as well.
Yeah, her cleavage goes down to her navel.
Something like that, yeah.
She's blonde.
Yeah.
Some gentlemen prefer blondes.
Some do indeed. Mm. this was an alright issue. I think, personally, I preferred the first two. Because, it linked to Will Magnus. It linked to General Immortus. I think it was a really good introduction for the team in this issue. And this kind of seemed like it could have gone further, but it was all very quickly wrapped up. So
right.
It was okay, but by the end of it, they were like, yeah, we saved the day. We stopped the bad guys. And Valentina's like, well, you know, I fled my home in Russia, and I think I found a home here now, if you will have me. And, of course, the team are like, yeah, sure.
And join up.
Join up. So, it was... That issue, I found, it was okay. I think the first two were much better.
Yeah. So presumably, I mean, this is designed to showcase different characters and teams and things. And
indeed.
I'm just wondering if this was unsuccessful, because there wasn't a Doom Patrol comic soon after this.
Not soon at all.
No.
I believe it was, another decade?
Another, yes.
Team appeared.
At least.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And, just some thoughts about Arani. Do you feel that the way Arani's depicted in these early issues is consistent with how she appeared in early days of Volume 2?
I don't think so. I think she seems a bit cranky.
She's very harsh in Volume 2.
That'll do. Yeah, cranky and harsh in Volume 2.
And obsessed with finding... Niles, like she's convinced that Niles is still alive and is obsessed with finding him. And not to sugarcoat it, the worst thing that happens is she actually finds him at the end. He basically says, she's a crazy obsessed woman and not my wife.
Yeah, that's where it kind of falls apart for poor old Arani.
Yeah,
it's like she spent a good portion of her personal story is that, yes, she's hunting for Niles, and she's telling everyone, we were married, you know, what happened? You know, he gave me the serum, you know? And yeah, he shows up and he denies all of it.
Wow. But I don't get the impression that was really the plan back with these issues. So.
Yeah. Something changed over that decade.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know the story behind that.
If you're listening in, Paul, drop us a line. Let us know.
Yes, please.
We'd love to hear from you.
We'd like to know what the plan was and what changed, if anything changed. I mean, we could be reading it all wrong.
We could be.
Yeah.
It's every chance.
All right. I'm going to leap ahead to the end of 1982.
Ooh.
I have a DC Comics Presents, which has Superman and the new Doom Patrol featured. And on the cover, there's a Negative Woman zooming through Superman's chest while the rest of the team try to intervene in the background. And, yeah, this is Paul Cooperberg writing again, and we have Keith Giffen on pencils.
Ooh.
And Sal Trapani, and the editor, big DC name, the editor, Julius Schwartz.
Ooh, big Julie.
Yeah. So this is the story of Superman meeting the new Doom Patrol, and he really doesn't know the deal. But, he's trying to fight a fire at a factory, and he gets disrupted by Negative Woman zooming around, and she's lost control of her powers. Which is fits in with the title of the comic, which is Negative Woman Goes Berserk.
Well, that's quite apt.
Yeah. And then Superman puts out the fire by sucking in all the flames with his super breath and goes to the TV station where he works. Yes, TV station.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Where the TV reporters Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen are there.
Wow.
And it cuts to a press conference with the DA, and you see a little bug zooming to the side of the screen, and suddenly someone grabs the DA and hurls him across the stage, and he's dead.
What? And
then the culprit appears on the camera for a sec, and it is the first ever appearance of Ambush Bug.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. First thing he does, kills the DA stone dead.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And Lois and Jimmy are stunned, and then he blinks out of the view. And Superman thinks this is a job for Superman, but he's actually Clark at that point, so that makes sense. And flies off to intervene, and again gets disrupted by a Negative Woman zooming around. She's zooming through buildings now and blowing things up, and Superman spends a lot of time trying to stop the debris falling on people. And tries to grab her, and she zooms through him and knocks him completely out, and he plummets to the ground.
Wow.
And then we see the rest of the Doom Patrol lurking in the shadows trying to recover Negative Woman, because she has gone crazy.
Has she gone berserk?
She has gone berserk.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. At the same time as all this is happening, there is a street parade with lots of giant floats.
Okay.
And, suddenly, Ambush Bug appears there and is disrupting things, and Robot Man busts through the wall to try and catch him, but he's actually looking for Val, Negative Woman.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was actually picking up Ambush Bug's teleportation and thinking it was Negative Woman's energy powers.
Hmm.
Yeah. But then there's lots of fighting and jumping around throughout the parade. And one of the interesting thing to note is this parade is very indie comics. I presume this is Keith Giffen just noting some of the cool stuff going on in comics at the time. So there's ElfQuest floats, and there's a Judge Dredd float.
Wow.
And there's a Cerberus float.
What?
So that's all very cool.
DC allowed that?
I don't know. I don't know what they knew about it, but it's interesting to note that Ambush Bug is credited as a Keith Giffen creation, and Paul Cooperberg isn't listed as a creator of Ambush Bug, so so this could be a bit of plot and a bit of artistic creation added together here.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, the Doom Patrol finally introduce themselves to Superman, and Robot Man vouches for them, and Ambush Bug tries to trick them by making them fight. But in the midst of all this, Ambush Bug has seen Val flying around and fallen in love with her.
Oh, God's sake. It's that cleavage again, isn't it?
Well, she's a negative being at this point, so there's just black energy, so not okay. much cleavage happening anyway. But damn, Ambush Bug doesn't... He's a bit odd, isn't he?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So Superman tries to stop Negative Woman. Ambush Bug tries to grab Negative Woman, so there's a bit of a chase going on. Tempest tries to slow him down, and he escapes from Tempest. Superman has to throw all this debris up into the sun to make it... So a lot of time just protecting people from falling crap.
Right.
And Jimmy Olsen, every time he tries to get that killer shot, he gets hit by a parade float that's fallen on top of him.
Oh, for God's sake.
So he ends up under balloons a lot.
Right.
Yeah. So Superman has a bit of back and forth with Ambush Bug and tries to stop him. And then he basically works out that Ambush Bug has little flying bugs around him that he uses to teleport with. So Superman collects them all, crushes them all, and next time Ambush Bug tries to teleport, he can't, and Robot Man punches the crap out of him. It's a great panel of Ambush Bug flying upside down with his mouth wide open with a massive wham across the page.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So Negative Woman's still flying around going berserk. Superman disappears from the middle of the battle, and Tempest is stunned that Superman would disappear in the middle of a fight. Superman comes back with a lead box that he's got from his Fortress of Solitude.
Ah.
And they put Negative Woman inside and take her back to the headquarters. And this little epilogue with Jimmy Olsen finally coming out from under the balloon and missing all the action. And then there's another epilogue, and it's Ambush Bug in his civilian identity, which I think faded away over the years, which looks a bit like Lex Luthor in Metropolis State Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another epilogue, which is basically to control Negative Woman's powers, she must put on bandages. See the connection?
Yes, because in Volume 2 she does have bandages.
Yeah, this is one of those little bits of continuity webbing between things.
It only took years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Doom Patrol is saying how lucky she is that they got her back before she died.
Yeah.
And she said, "Duh, lucky." And you can see she doesn't think she's lucky at all.
God.
So that brings us to the new look of Negative Woman as well.
Right. Excellent. It didn't even occur to me how she got from not having bandages in the 70s to having bandages a decade later.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Cleavage to bandages.
That's a fashion statement.
Crazy.
So overall, what did you think of these old missing years of the Doom Patrol?
They're very interesting, actually. I found... The reintroduction of the team is really good.
Mm.
I mean, I really like the first showcase issue, particularly just showing off the team coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Robot Man, actually, in this DC Comics Presents issue, has his old body back. So I don't know what's happened between.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's another thing we'll excavate as we do our patrologizing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think the introduction was really good of this new team. I think them facing off with Immortus was really good. I think the third showcase issue was a little bit weaker, focusing on Valentina and trying to either apprehend or wipe her out, depending on whether you were Matt Cable or the Cossack. But yeah, I love this old school art style as well by Joe Staton. Some really cool stuff. So.
Yeah. Yes. And, I mean, the connection is that Ambush Bug actually ends up on the Doom Patrol in the future.
This is true. And at that time, it was written by Keith Giffen as well.
Yeah, so the artist became the writer. Everyone forgot that Ambush Bug killed the DA the first time he appeared.
Can I also just say, I really love the old ads in these old comics.
Oh, they're awesome.
Things like BB guns.
BB guns.
And Slim Jims, you know.
Slim Jims.
Old meat snacks.
Milk duds.
Milk duds. Crazy Zag crabs. Nuts. Yeah. Sea monkeys.
Starcade. You spend, you know, a dollar and you get a massive box of soldiers.
Yeah, yeah. Magic. The ads are half the magic. Anyway.
There's a weird product in here called Lego. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. That won't go anywhere. Can't even pronounce it.
Lego.
Anyway, I think that's our doomsplaining done for this week.
Yeah. This week on the Mailbag of Doom, we asked our dear listeners, assuming they listen, just people who like to answer questions. Anyway, what have you collected apart from comics? And we heard from Katie Scarlett 94, who said, clearly my Gone with the Wind collection and vintage linens. And then she added, also, I'm 90. She's
hello
looking
to
good
our...
for 90.
Yes, hello to our oldest listener ever.
She's almost my age.
Jess Camacho, who is at Camacho Jess on the Twitters, she said Funko Pop vinyls, the little figures with the large heads. Wow. She says she thinks she has 100 of them now. Wow.
Oh, that's too many, Jess. You should give some of them to me. I'm actually sitting at a computer which has James's Angel pop vinyl right in front of me.
Right.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
Angel.
Angel.
Also yes. From the show Angel.
Right.
Sorry. Matt Roberts, Mr. _ Oberts, he said Kiss albums. And baseball and football and basketball cards. Mm-hmm. He's not picky, is he?
No.
And he collects sexual conquests, apparently. Yeah, right. Maybe Derek... Matty B does.
Yeah, Matty B does. I'm sure he does. Derek S, who is at Derek Actual on Twitter, he said he collected vinyl, alien statues, the Black Series figures of the Star Wars toys, and his guilty pleasure is Garbage Pail Kids. Wow.
Oh, 80s kid.
Yeah.
We heard from Karthik Karkarella, who said, I might have to count my guitars. I collected basketball cards when younger, and also collectible card games. Ooh.
Yes.
And I immediately want to know which collectible card games.
Yeah, there were a lot of them at one stage. A lot of them. Yeah, we'll get to that later. Frack Thunderwolf, who is at Fractures on Twitter, he said he collected...
This is Frack in disguise, isn't it?
Frack in disguise, yeah. He collected action figures, superheroes, Todd McFarlane's, 2000 AD, etc. No real theme, just the ones that he liked the look of in his local comic shop. And yes, they are still in their boxes. And he signed off with the hashtag, hangs head in shame.
Oh, there's no shame in keeping your crap mint. Really. It's cool. They last longer. They're worth more that way. If your life goes to shit, you can sell them for a lot more than if they're loose around the place.
Okay, yeah, you got me there.
Yeah. We heard from the Knucklehead, or Greg McCambly.
Mm-hmm.
Cambly? He said, and we haven't had anything from him before, that's exciting. Welcome, he's probably Canadian, I'm guessing. He said, old pulp novels, mysteries mostly, I have over 100.
Wow.
Rad.
Yeah. Cool.
That would be cool, having old pulp novels. They... Mm. A lot of comics sort of have ties to old pulp novels.
Yeah.
The Shadow, many others.
We also heard from at Unlikely Nerd, who goes by the name this week of Maestro Anna Chris. He said he has collected disappointment and regret, mostly.
Well, that's the lifestyle he leads, and it's all well-deserved, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Vern. Sorry.
No, you're not.
Unlikely Nerd's cool. Love
he is.
We heard from Lapine is me, Mike Lapine, and he collects original art, and he collects debt, and he collects shit from people. Just a few things he collects. Original art. Ooh, I'd like to know more about your original art sometime, Mike. Mm. So, yeah, let me
know.
Not
so much his shit from people, but yeah.
We don't see the shit.
No. Jay Bandoy, at W Bandoy, he said, aside from basketball, comic, and anime cards, he used to collect Dot Hack playing cards and anything Bulbasaur for his shrine.
Oh, a Pokemon connoisseur.
Yes, yes. Cool. Yeah.
What are Hack cards?
Dot Hack was a manga and an anime and I think PlayStation console games that was about kids going into a virtual reality fantasy world.
Oh.
And having adventures there. I do recall there being a collectible card game based on it.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
Cool. We heard from Ange, Dr. Ange 70.
Dr. Ange. He is the man.
Definitely the man. As a kid, collected Star Wars action figures.
Cool.
Unusual. No one did that. And also a variety of trading cards, movie tie-ins mostly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm picturing James Bond cards. I'm picturing Batman. I'm psychic. I'm just making stuff up. Anyway,
Supergirl,
that's cool.
Cards too.
Supergirl. Yeah. There was a Supergirl movie.
Yeah, there was. We also heard from Alan Hedrick, who is at Hedrick Allen on the Twitter. He said he has a little collection of Dark Angels and Kador soldiers. Dark Angels being one of the Space Marine factions in Warhammer 40,000, and Kador being another army in the War Machine miniatures games. If Alan is any sort of miniatures player, I'm sure that his little collection is probably quite decent sized.
Nice.
Speaking as someone who has delved into that world as well.
Seeking someone with a similar affliction.
Yes.
We heard from Richie O'Hara Beeman, a rickety OB, and he said, standard stuff, I think. Football, stickers, monsters in my pocket. Not a euphemism. Oh, and Jurassic Park and Simpsons stuff. I have some monsters in my pocket, I think. Little plastic figures.
Yes.
Anyway.
We did also hear from Reggie Hancock on our Facebook page, and he said he's going to pick one of his less quote-unquote crazy guy tendencies in favour of an quote-unquote eccentric guy tendency. He has a decent collection of 1939 and 1964 World's Fair memorabilia, as well as a small collection of New York City subway ephemera. Then he's put in brackets, ephemera is a fancy word for garbage. That's quite different. You don't often hear of that being in anyone's collection. So
that's cool.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, Paul, what have you collected other than comics?
Well, I've got one more. We've got Rift.
Rift. Tardy Rift. He's always into the last possible moment.
What a tardy bastard Rift is. Yep, he said mainly Transformers when I was younger.
Ooh.
And he does have almost a full set of 93 Marvel cards, which aren't actually comics, so they still count. So, yes, according to the definition of our question, he is within the parameters of that question. So,
accepted.
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent.
Excellent.
All right, Mike. I know you well enough to know that you don't collect anything.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Is there anything you want to confess?
Okay. I've collected a whole bunch of different stuff over the years, but probably the biggest collection I probably sank the most money into was collectible card games. Back in the 90s when the craze first hit, I was pretty much collecting any and every card game that came out. So your Magic the Gathering, your Vampire the Eternal Struggle, your Mythos, which was like the first Call of Cthulhu card game, Battletech, Shadowrun, and the big ones were Star Trek and Star Wars and Lord of the Rings as well, which weren't quite in the 90s, but still. So I had folders upon folders of those, and boxes, and still do for some of them. So luckily that's died off over time, because I collected lots of other things too.
Sorry, Mike, I was just making a cup of tea. What are you talking
about? Oh, good. Now that you're back, I also used to collect... I've gone through phases, yeah. I also collected Star Wars Legos when they first came out. Then I was collecting the Star Wars and Star Trek. They were like the micro-figure things, so like you would get a small Romulan starship and you could open up... Yeah, micro-machine things, but these ones you could open them up and you would have tiny little, you know, Romulan dudes inside of them, and you'd get a ball cube that you could open up, or there would be a lightsaber handle that you could open up and it would be the Death Star trench, stuff like that. So I've collected a lot of useless crap over the years.
Right.
Yes.
Well done.
Thanks, I think.
I'm going to talk about my collecting, and it's hard to qualify this as collecting because it's a collection I haven't added anything to in about 20 years.
Ooh.
But when I was a lad, going back in the midst of time, I used to collect the serial toys, the little plastic figures that came in cereal packets. So this was sort of late 70s, early 80s stuff. So used to be things called thingamajigs and tooly birds and astronits. And I used to love these collections. And I, as most of my friends got older, they would say, I'm sick of these, and discard them. And I would be the person waiting for them to discard them. So I added to my collection over the years. And it's not a collection that's gone anywhere since then, but I'm very proud that I have all these old figures, and I've got lots of sets of some of them. So, and they all came in bright, they were single coloured, bright plastic, and they're really rad. And they're made by a Melbourne company called R&L, and they exported them to America, and apparently they're worth a bit of money these days, which is why I haven't got any new ones.
Right.
Yeah, but they're really cool. So if anyone wants to see pictures of them, prove that you listen to the podcast and ask.
Take that, listeners. Recognize.
Unless there's no listeners, in which case...
In which case, I will ask you for a picture of them later.
Thanks, Mike.
Anyway, that was
You were
another...
listening to me. I wasn't listening to you, though.
Yeah, says so much about our friendship. Quote-unquote friendship. Okay, that's pretty much it for our show this week. Thanks for listening in, guys. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always reach us on Twitter at WFDpod, via email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com or the Waiting for Doom Facebook page.
And we'll be back. We're going to take a week off, so we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike has to prepare for my birthday.
Do I? we'll have words later.
So, but when we come back, we will be talking about the Doom Patrol and the Flash and the times when they have interacted.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be jumping all over Doom Patrol history with that.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Okay, that's our show. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you again in 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time. Sorry.
We love you still. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
No, thank you, Paul.
No, thank you.
Look, don't be a dick. Thank you.
Why are you making this so difficult? Thank you.
Shut up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Look, just getting with Doom's planning.
Dealing with you is a thankless task.
Ahem.
Mm.
Yes.
Da 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 da.
Okay.